A unit today contains scriptures in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Matter of fact, all 10 verses of chapter 1. And the overall arching theme for this quarter, for the next 3 months, is new teaching. New teaching. But our unit for this month is New in Christ. New in Christ. And subject this morning, as I stated from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, is new loyalty. New loyalty. I don't know about you, but one of the more exciting things is to be engaged around socializing with, fellowshipping with new Christians. That there is a fire that is ignited at the time of conversion, that when a whole bunch of new Christians get together, oh, there's some kind of fire. Now, I know they talk about the old saints, you know, they can fire it up, and yeah, you know, they've had a lot of time practicing and getting there. But new Christians bring about an excitement. But you know, what's really interesting is how we kick around that term new. We're always looking for something new. We want new homes, new cars, new clothes, new wad of cash. We want new stuff. But I think that you'll find, and as most of you all certainly know, that when you are in Christ, every day is new. I mean, you know why? Because, see, Jeremiah picked up and says, there are new mercies daily. So in other words, it's not the same mercy that you had yesterday. It's new when you're in Christ. But when you're in Christ, every day there is room and possibilities for illumination. And when there is illumination, that's new, because that which you were in the dark about, you now have a fresh, new perspective, illumination. Paul is writing to a church that on his second missionary journey, that church was established. He went there with Silas, it's called Silvanus in today's text, and Timotheus is Timothy. But he went there with Silas, and he, as a matter of fact, Brother Timothy, in the setting of this lesson, has just returned with a report. You know, when I used to go to Sunday school conventions as a lad, many times I was some sort of delegate, and then that delegate was responsible. We didn't do like we do today. People take all these nice trips, stay in nice plush hotels, suck up all the air conditioning, eat the finest food, Sealy. You know, really, you know, we went to the Sunday school convention and we had to sleep in people's houses, strangers we didn't know, because we couldn't sleep in hotels and stuff. And we certainly ate good, because, you know, ain't nothing better than from the cook's kitchen, better than that. But now we have folk that go and the church pay for it, and you never hear a report. Somebody better help me today. But here these guys got to travel all these miles because they were a representative and they're reporting to the Apostle Paul about this new church. Listen to the introduction, verse 1. Listen intently as you read. Paul and Timothy and in grace and peace Paul is setting it up. Paul is in this salutation to the church at Thessalonica. He is saying, grace and peace be to you, to the church that is in God, a church that is in Christ, a church that is one. That right there alone, that introduction, Jerry, makes it a model church. Because I find today, more and more, we have folk who they go to church, but I'm not sure they're what the church is all about. See, because first of all, the church is a universal body of baptized believers. But he is writing to the local assembly, the called out, the ecclesia of the day. He's writing about them and he's saying, grace and mercy be to you. You're in God and you're in Christ. You're just what God wanted. You're just what Christ wanted. You know how I know? The 17th chapter of John, Jesus prays the high priestly prayer before his exit into heaven. He says, Father, it is my desire that they be one as you and I are one. And here in this salutation, it seems to indicate or imply that the church at Thessalonica, they are one because they're in God and they're. And when you're in God and you're in Christ, you can't help but get the blessings of God in Christ. And he says those blessings are grace and peace, peace with God and peace with each other. That's how he starts it off to this church. He says, I'm writing to you. Know what you're going through. And I've heard some good things. That's the purpose of this letter, is to report what he has heard and is still hearing and to commend what's going on in Thessalonica. Wouldn't it be nice if everywhere you go, somebody was talking about resurrection? That church over there in Church, Texas, and on Redland, on the corner of Redland. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to report that they're in one, that they are one, they're one, that they're one in God and in Christ? The only way you can ever have peace is to have, first of all, peace with God. Because if you have peace with God, you have the peace of God. Verse 2 says what? First of all, Paul was a prayer. Paul prayed for folk. And maybe when you get some time, just look at. Matter of fact, I may stop in Saturday and give the prayer warriors an assignment. Go look at, construct a list, a prayer list that Paul had. Paul prayed for folk. And he says, I'm always praying for you. And as a matter of fact, the church folk, let me tell you, you can pray for Big Mama or Auntie and them. You can pray for Cousin Joe. You can pray for whoever you. But you know what? You need to be praying for the church. The church needs your prayer. The church is always going through something, Celie. Matter of fact, for all you folk who think that you got the best church in the world and that you're just hooked up to it and that everything is hunky-dory and you're going to go on to glory, I got news for you. You need prayer. Because if you are the church and you're about the real church business, the devil is going to be after you. Paul says, I'm always praying for you guys. It's something, this relationship. Remember over in Thessalonica, if you read Acts chapter 17, you know, you see that Paul went there to preach, and he went to the synagogue to preach, and the Jews there. You know, here he's trying to take the gospel to the world on his second missionary journey. Him and Silas, you know, just had the experience over in Philippi. And you know, been locked up and all that. But now he goes, and he goes as it was accustomed to the Jewish synagogue, to the place of worship. Do you know they ran that boy up out of there? It's amazing Thessalonica is even mentioned in the Bible because Paul only spent 3 weeks there. About, some say between 3 and 5 weeks. You know, we give him a, but in 5 weeks, this strong church, as you're about to see, this model church, as you're about to see, was formed, they're growing, and people are talking about them. And Paul says, though, I give thanks for a church like you. I give thanks to God. I mention you often in my prayers. But while I'm praying, Doug, here's what I'm remembering. Y'all look at that. Your work of faith, the labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Ah, oh, y'all thought that we were just going to have a report card this morning, didn't you? What he's saying is that this is why I'm praying for you guys. Because I know of your work of faith. Now, let me just break this down. Let me break this down for you. These folk were not working, Jerry, to get saved. They were working because they were saved. These folk were doing a work of faith, and faith is the soul's response to God. See, because, see, without faith, Tony, you can't please God. And here these folk, their work of faith was that they heard the gospel, they received the gospel, and they responded to the gospel. And Paul says, I'm always remembering that. Because a whole bunch of folk are hearing the word of God and they're not responding. That's the only reason I got a job. Oh, y'all thought I was retired? No, I got a job. This is my job. Is to teach the word of God. There's no greater word work to be done. Doesn't pay well. Matter of fact, doesn't pay at all. But I love it. It's a work of faith. It's my soul's response. It's not because I'm doing something to get brownie points. Guys, I got involved in a discussion via YouTube this week. That just blew my mind. And what it was, they had all these great minds of various religious organizations. And the title, it aired some time ago. I guess I just missed it because I limit my eyes and ears to stuff that's really important. But this, I missed this one. All these religious leaders, and they were talking about what happens after you die. And it's very interesting to include atheists. So religious leaders and one atheist. The person who just simply did not know. And it was evident in their response that they did not know. They simply did not know. But anyway, the bottom line was that each of them was sharing their viewpoints about what happens after death and what Christianity or Muslim or the Jewish faith. There was one lady there that was just spiritual. She was a spiritual person. Now, these folk were deep. They taught some heavy stuff. But guess what? You can be deep and not make any sense. Because I heard some of those responses. See, the issue is you have to agree that there is only one authority. And in this particular salutation today, Paul does not mention Buddha. He doesn't mention, he doesn't even mention T.G. Snead. He doesn't mention Billy Graham. He doesn't mention Ray Brown. He talks about the authority is God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, and their word. It does not matter what I say, ladies and gentlemen. It's what does the Bible say? That's all that matters. And if we can, because what would happen, what the thing that I got, Jerry, from all this, that all the others, with the exception of fundamental evangelical Christian there, they all believe that they had something to do with where they're going to go after they leave here, except one. That one said, this is it. Well, I'm here to tell you, if this is it, getting up out of my bed on a cold morning, exposing this bald head to cold weather is all that there is, then I die, and that's all that there is, we have been the biggest fools on the planet. But I don't believe that. I believe that God our Father, that Jesus Christ, our Lord, saved us, offered salvation, and that is a work of faith that because he saved us, we have a natural response in faith, in works. And Paul says, I'm remembering how you guys responded to the gospel. But he also, I remember how you labored in love. Rock, I'm here to tell you, lazy Christians, should not be. People who are sitting around complaining about the work that needs to be done, they don't complain about the work that needs to be done at work, but they always got to play. You know, if the work of the ministry is laboring you, because see, this labor of love, that labor there, that's a very strong word. They're talking about these folk are agony. These folk are busy. Saved Christians are busy Christians. You know, they always be talking about, they be talking about certain folks, you know. They talk about people like, well, that Jerry's around everywhere. Yeah, hey, you know, that Karen Minor Hudson, she involved in it. That Karen Butler's everything. Saved Christians are busy Christians. Oh, yeah, you get tired in the work, but you don't get tired of the work because it's a labor of love. You're saying you're not working, like I said, to get no brownie points. And the issue is, yeah, you're going to get tired. You think I get tired of you guys? You know? But guess what? Don't get tired of the work. You know, you hear people talking about, Pastor Brown, y'all hear him talking about three services. Oh, man, that's just wearing me out. But then somebody go ask them to do a fourth, and we're preaching where? See, you get tired in the work, but you don't get tired of the work because it's a labor of love. And then he says the patience of hope. Now, for those of you who've been through basic doctrine, y'all know that Paul just set you up. He's talking about the order of salvation here because, see, those terms are abstract and hope, love, those are abstract terms. But it's almost like the contractor who's laying a sidewalk, Jerry, and he's talking about how he just loves kids. And he poured his sidewalk, and the next day he came, and all these fingerprints and footprints was in his concrete. And he got under his breath. And brother happened by and said, hey, I thought you said you love kids. He says, yeah, I love them in the abstract, but not in the concrete. You know, but love and hope and patience. Abstract terms. But he says these folk have managed to flesh it out, make it concrete. That patient, that hope of patience. In other words, they look back at their salvation. They're looking every day in their, at their labor of love. They're working. They look back to the cross for their salvation. They're working a labor of love for their sanctification. And they have, they are patiently waiting for the return of Jesus the Christ, the one that got up on Sunday morning. They're looking anticipatorily to that day when they will be united with him. That sounds like the order of salvation, doesn't it? You have been saved, you are being saved, and you, there's a hope. Ours is no mamby-pamby pie in the sky by and by. It is a deliberate, patient hope. Yeah, they talked about the dying. That's how I got into this thing about life after death, is that, you know, I know that there's something greater that awaits me. But until I get there, I need to be laboring in love, knowing that it'll pay off after a while, knowing that there's a crown laid up for me. But it's not even the crown that I'm looking for. You guys, you know, I wear very little jewelry anyway, you know, two rings. And both of them signify my connection to something. but the issue is, I don't need a whole bunch of jewelry. Just the presence, to be in the presence of God. That's my hope. No more crying. No more shuddering from the cold. Because when it get below 70, I'm cold. I live in South Texas. No more of that, though. And Paul says, I'm always remembering you in my prayers. He says here that you, he says, I like the things that you are doing. Those three things, those trinity of church graces. I like what you're doing. He says, knowing, brethren, your election. Now, we're not going to get into it because it would take all day. But I tell you what, if you come to basic doctrine, for those of you who haven't been, we deal a whole section. The election of God. The word of God is clear that Christ, before the foundation of the world, saved you. Before the foundation of the world, you were elected. It ain't because of who you are, your pedigree, and what you do. In other words, the doctrine of election talks up to have anything to do with your salvation. And every one of those other religious leaders all talked about works, what you have to do, that you had to do something in order to merit something. Nah, except one who very adamantly said, oh no, it's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy he saved you by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Your part, matter of fact, years ago, J. Vernon McGee, you guys may remember, he's dead now, but J. Vernon McGee said, yeah, okay, you want a part in the salvation? You got a part. Let me tell you what your part is. You do the sinning and God will do the winning. You ain't have nothing to do with your salvation. Absolutely nothing, fool. And that's what the atheist believes, that, hey, you know, we're God. The atheist God is themselves. That's who they worship, because they think that this life is all there is. But then they can't tell you who created them. We certainly didn't do it. All you got to do is look to your left or right, in the back of you, in front of you. There ain't none of y'all smart enough in here to make nothing, let alone a human being. Oh, Brother Snead, why would you be so insensitive to our intellect? Man has made so many progress. There ain't nothing that man has done or will be doing that God has not already done. He made us. And we need to recognize that fact, that the God of election is there. But don't want to, he says, you got to know that. And you guys know that. Reverse. And then, first of all, they went to Thessalonica not with just flowery words. Y'all better hear this. Y'all gotta hear this. He says, we didn't go there just with words. We went there with power. And did any of you stop just for a moment to ask yourself during the week, well, what was that power? It was the gospel. They had words. They had a word. Notice that they had a message that was on point. They didn't go there preaching any other thing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They preached the gospel. Y'all don't get me. Folk, let me tell you, I'm living in a dilemma. Paul talked about his dilemma, about, you know, there's so much work for me to do, but yet I long to be with the Father, and I don't know whether it would be better for me to go on to the Father or stay here and do the work. Yeah, well, I have that same dilemma. You know why I say it? Because I am surrounded in an environment, in a world environment that does not appreciate the message. You know how I know? They want to change it. Everybody wants to change the Word of God. And see, the message never changes. And I often have discussions, Ruby, about, hey guys, let's not move the message goalposts. The methods are changed. Get up here and teach this class. Every Sunday, you guys are exposed to different teachers. Our methods may be different, but I guarantee you, if that message is different, if it's not this Sunday school lesson, it's your job to report it to Joe Harris, and it's his job to report it to me, because we're going to teach the gospel. Oh yeah. Your opinions matter, but the gospel matter. He says, I didn't come to you with just flowery words. I came to you in power. In other words, I came to you with the gospel. But I not only came with you with the gospel, I came in the Holy Ghost. Most folk think that, you know, they can sit around and they can, you know, discuss scriptures and, you know, just leave the Holy Ghost out of it. Well, the Holy Ghost is in you. How he going to be left out of it? You talking about you a Christian? You're indwelt with the Holy Ghost. And he says, that's the way that we came. And you know what? We modeled what the Word says. And now we are praying for you because we hear reports that you are modeling what the Word said. See, folk, if you fleshly disciple folk, you will get fleshly disciples. If you tell folk that, we're really all about fellowship. All we want to do is to show love. We want to get together, eat the hominy grits. We want to have a little quiche every now and then, you know, and definitely have that church's chicken. And just commune, fellowship with one another. What about the Word? What about the Word? In our paradigm here at Resurrection and the Rock, our paradigm is everybody should belong to a teaching ministry, and all of you do. And I know if I ask the question, some people will say, well, nah, I'm not really in the ministry. Yes, you are, because if you're a man or a woman, you're in a ministry. You either belong to the men's ministry or the women's ministry, just by who you are. The issue is whether or not you're participating. But that's a teaching ministry. All ministry. And I've heard the kickback blow. I've heard it, believe me, and it hurts me, but it's all right. You know, that's neat. All they want to do is teach a lesson, da 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 da. You know, we got to take care of business. We got to do ministry. Wait a minute. Do you know what the business of the church is? The business of the church is having the Word of God at your side, at your disposal, using the Word of God, being an example of the Word of God. That's it. And if you don't know the Word of God, how are you going to emulate the Word of God? And if you don't know people who know the Word of God, how are you going to emulate them? Well, you'll emulate them, but you'll be doing. That's why we have all these, that's why you have all these cults come up. Speaking of, I didn't even want to bother you guys with it. But did you notice that Paul is writing a letter to the church at Thessalonica, and he talks about Silas and Timothy? He writing a letter. He's the apostle. But you know what? What it is that Paul's saying, we're all about ministry. That's why I like that church down there. There ain't no big eyes and little U's. There ain't no potentates. There ain't no people that wear collars and stuff. Everybody's a minister. Do you realize you're a minister? All of you, everybody in here who's saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost is a minister, because a minister is simply one who serves. And Paul says, I'm not going to have this division of laity versus, you know, potentates. We're all in this thing together. And I see you guys, I like how y'all are working. You understand the Word and you are emulating the folk that taught you the Word. Because it doesn't do you any good. It does, because it does not do you any good to just hear the Word and then not be able to do the Word. But these folk had heard the Word and they're doing the Word. And now Paul is writing back to them saying, I'm hearing about you. What are people saying about you? What are people saying about your church? Do the first thing you hear about the Rock is, oh, they have a great choir. I'm checking on your potentate on the wall. I'm checking on you. Do they say they have a great choir? Resurrection is never. Actually, there are people that at some time they say, oh, you know, they got a great choir. They got a good choir. They got it. But when you normally, especially in years past, whenever you heard Resurrection, you know what you heard? Man, that's a teaching church. That's what it was founded on. Yeah, you know, I used to always say lovingly about Pastor Bailey, Pastor Bailey couldn't preach himself out of a brown paper bag, but he sure could teach the Word. And he left that legacy for us teaching the Word. You got to teach the Word. But just as importantly, you got to be able to live that Word. You got to be able to apply that Word. You know, education without any application, man, that's a poor demonstration of your faith. You got to be able to apply this Word. And this church was model when it came to doing that. And Paul says, I'm praying for you. Because you know what? You're doing this, we'll see in the next verse, while you're being persecuted. See, a lot of folks, when times get tight, they want to run, Burge. When times get tight. But if you really got the Word down inside of you, you're going to stand flat-footed. For Christ I live, and for Christ I'll die. Paul knew about their affliction. Come on, let's everyone get there. Let me talk about affliction. I see somebody with an afflicted face, so I want to talk about affliction. Verse says, verse 5, you know, he told you he didn't come, he didn't with word only, but he came with power, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation and much assurance. See, one of the other things before I go, Jerry, is that a lot of folk, the thing that is really disappointing to me, because, you know, I've taught in this particular local assembly for, go back to 1991, really. And it hurts when you know you've taught somebody something. You know, when you know you've taught the assurance of salvation. When you know you've taught on forgiveness. And folk are still acting the fool. ain't getting a lesson. Mercer, that's her. Do you have that problem, Professor? Do you have that problem with all these grammar students and you know, editorial students that they just didn't get it? How you feel? But there's nothing more gratifying than when you know you've taught something. Tony and I, he's gone now. He must have known I was going to use it. He knew sharing. But all these kids that he's worked with since they were young tots, and now they drive, he saw them drive off, and now, you know, some of them are in doctoral programs. And, you know, he's saying, you know, we not only taught them track lessons, but we taught them life lessons. And to see them, see that all coming to fruition, see the response that they were making. See, he wanted to make a good report. Hey, you know that boy? You know, I heard he just got accepted to Baylor, you know, in grad program. He's going to PhD program. Oh, man, I remember with him. He didn't know what was up right. He put his track shoes on the wrong feet. That's powerful, folks. This is the kind of thing that Paul is going through right now about this church. Y'all stay with me. We're talking about new loyalty now. See, because what he's saying is, and just bring you up to speed, I noticed that since we went to Thessalonica, these folk, you got to understand, I didn't tell them, Collins, it's my fault. I didn't tell them, Thessalonica, this is a bastion of heathens. I mean, you're talking about some freaks. These guys, they did some of everything. This is in the capital over there in Macedonia, height of the Grecian, you know, Roman road, a main Roman road went right through the city. You know, they're very prosperous. They got it going on. They like the folk that live out in Redland, you know, and, you know. So, you know, they really got it going on. Do anything. And to see someone's life that has been transformed from serving idol gods to being totally hooked on the one triune God. Oh, that's something awful. That's awesome. Oh, we've heard reports on you. Do you think when you left home that there were some folks said, man, that bird, he doing all right. How it made the folk in the hometown say he won't get too much now. You know, we all sophisticated and did it now, but I come from a little small town. You know, Fred Kendall and I used to talk all the time. You know, when you first went in we went into Air Force now, but they call it service. They didn't care whether you're in the Army, Navy, Marine. Oh, that boy in the service. Woo, child. And Fred Kendall says down there in Thomaston, Georgia, that the old folk would just walk up to you and they'd say, boy, oh boy. See, they wouldn't say nothing else. Boy, oh boy. But they were so proud because they done heard great things about what you're doing. Shoot, man, Fred Kendall made chief. They started to declare a national holiday in Thomaston. A good report. This is your product. This is somebody that you've poured into. And he's very proud of them. And he stated to you why he's proud. Because their labor of love, work of faith, and their hope of patience. Got to keep those three themes there. Verse 6 says what?
And you became
Stop. You became followers of us. You became followers of us. Folk, if you don't know nothing, you can't teach nothing. You became followers of us. You're going to read the latter clause here because it's the most important one. And? Stop. That's it. You became followers of us and the Lord. In other words, we bought your word. You believe that word was of the one triune God. And you followed us as we followed Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you. You guys know that technically, I'm Brown's first and only Christian education director when he became pastor. I'm it. We had Sunday school, and we had a preacher that served in that position, Dr. Graham. But I'm here to tell you that Pastor Brown works in the vineyard just like I do. Just like I do. I follow him as he follows Christ. I don't jump off a mountain for nobody. I don't jump out of an airplane with or without a parachute without me knowing everything about it, or without me having the faith in the one who knows about it. And here, Paul is saying, you trusted us enough to follow us knowing that we were following Christ. That makes you a model church. Most folk, and that's the reason why we have so many Christian cults, they follow the man, not the message. Oh, that's why they get all funky. You know, when the man leaves, they want to leave. You know, if the preacher gets mad and goes to another local assembly, half the church want to run off with him. Hey, ain't going nowhere. And don't you let nobody. This is your work. You were called to this venue. Let me tell you something, though. I know. There ain't a doubt about it. I don't know about preachers being called. I don't know about Thompson being called. But I know what T.G. Sneed was called to do because I'm here. I had no plans. There ain't nothing in my background that would say that I would be at the Resurrection Baptist Church in church or on Redland Road. There ain't nothing in my background that said that I would be here at this point in my life, in this juncture. Nothing. But God said, oh, where you going? Oh, you say you retire? Well, that's good. I'm glad you checked with me on that. But where do you think you're going? Oh, you know where I'm going. I'm going right down there to the federal district. Get back with some folk that ready to rock and roll. Get back with the Methodists. He said, you ain't going nowhere. And I heeded the call. And so, do you think I would ever risk doing something contrary to the word of God with all these folk who now have gotten hooked, who are following me as I follow Christ? You don't ever have to worry about Reverend Brown leaving in there. A lot, some folk may even be concerned about this new Vision 2020. Let me tell you one thing. I'm going to say it just like the word of God. Leave it alone. If you can't say nothing good about it, don't say nothing. If you don't want to support it, don't support it. But the issue is going to be, where's your work of faith? Oh, it's easy to put a dollar in the tray when you got $4. It's easy. Abe Thompson can do that. But what happens when the vision calls you to be something greater? These folk had to give up all their social connection. They had to disconnect all their social media. They had to turn from everything they had ever known. These were rich folk, sold on material possessions. But these people came in with the word of God, with power and the Holy Ghost, and they followed them. And Paul's saying, I'm really proud of the way that you followed us as we follow the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. Here's the thing. Now they receive the word and they're being afflicted. There's not one person this morning that was stopped, unless you were speeding, by the police asking you where you going. You know you ain't going to that church today. I know you're going to family church. You think you were going to family church school? You ain't going to that. Nobody was doing that. These folk were constantly harassed. They were afflicted. And Paul is saying, you emulated us in affliction. And some folks said, well, oh, Paul must have been afflicted because of the way that he did the church. No. Paul Here's the thing. Paul was told, you will suffer much affliction for my sake. Anytime you stand on truth in this world today, you're going to be afflicted. Many of you hide and cower on your jobs when folk get that. They can say anything they want. They can say any vile thing. They can use all kinds of language. They can be ignorant, aberrant, and any other adjective you want to describe in front of you, say anything, do anything, offend you in many ways. And if you say, in the name of Jesus, please don't talk like that, I'm so offended. That's affliction. But you got to know where you're going to stand. There's nothing that should mean that much to you in the world that you would want to give it up, that you would want to give up the word of God and follow the world. Paul says, I commend you folk for standing strong, because the truth is the truth if nobody agrees with it. And a lie is a lie if everybody agrees with it. These folk, they stood strong in affliction. They knew that all their connections were going to be cut off, but yet they stood. We better think about that. We won't be accepted in the community. You're going to change the word of God because you want to be accepted in the community? Then if you don't preach the word of God and you do what the community is doing, then you're no longer the church. You're the community. Just go on out there with them. Don't perpetrate a fraud. Let the church be the church. Because if the church is the church, it's a model church. It's one to be emulated. People should be saying, I like how that resurrection stood up. I like how they did that. Verse 7 says, so what? That you were what? No, I want y'all to read this with conviction. So that what? To all that believe in Macedonia. In other words, people started following you because of your example. How many of you would want somebody to follow what you're doing in the church? I'm raising my hand. Because if you're not an example, you are an example. y'all didn't get it. If you're not an example, you are an example. And that's why they drop out of church. They don't come to church because they say, oh, we don't see people that are genuine. And you know what? Most folk think that, those folk are too holy. No, they're not. Though what they do is when seekers come, they see, you know what? Hey, this is just like the outside world, except they ain't that cool at it. Yeah. You want to be like, hey, guys, I ain't been in them so long, I don't know. But the last big name that I remember here in San Antonio was Cadillac Square. And in New York City, it was Studio 54, you know. So wherever y'all going now, I don't know about that stuff, you know. But here's the issue. They come in, they say, on Saturday night, they come to Sunday, and they say, hey, man, the party's still going on. I don't see any difference in Studio 54 and Cadillac Square than I see at Resurrection today. Same people, different tune. And now the tunes done changed. See, because, you know, see, you know, years ago, they would go to Saturday night. And, you know, they'd be maybe hear, you know, Shake That Booty. And then on Sunday, they would hear All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let angels prostrate fall. But now is Drop It Like It's Hot on Saturday night and Drop It Like It's Double Hot on Sunday morning. There's no difference. Oh, Brusney, but you just old. That's all right. I once was young. Yeah, you're right, I'm old. You know why? Because old is the goal. People are talking about, don't let people envy your youth. Don't let nobody envy your age either. Don't you let the devil, that's a trick of the devil. Babies don't teach babies. Adults teach babies. Okay, there are lessons to be learned from babies, but they're not, that's not their primary responsibility. They've never been to the yesterday that you've already passed. So how are they gonna tell you? You remember how when y'all were growing up, the old folk used to be, just keep on living? I don't even say it now. I'm too embarrassed. I'm too embarrassed. I'm serious. And I used to, grandma, that's all, you know. And you know what? But every morning I get up. Bad back, crooked knees, neck, everything. I find new places hurt. They're talking about new mercies. The reason why you have new mercies is because you got new places to hurt every day. And for some of yourself, that's so cute. That's so charming. Isn't he a nice little old bald head man? Keep living. Because that's the goal. The goal is to get old. But the older you get, the newer in Christ you become. Because we're all maturing. None of us are mature. Now, verse 8, let's go. They tell me I got to go. Jerry told me I got to go. Word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. We don't even have to talk now. You know why? Because we've duplicated ourselves. Collins, this is what I've been saying. Folks, this is why we got to have evangelism. We got to duplicate ourselves. You're not going to have Thompson and Burge and Doug and Collins around all the time. Because let me tell you, if the word of God is true, and it is appointed once for man to die. There are folk that are no longer in this ministry that were very instrumental in this ministry, in the development of this ministry. You've got to take the mantle now. You're the one that's got to preach the gospel. You're the one that's got to spread. And you know what? You got to spread it in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You got to do it in your community. The community has changed. When we did it, we talked about the greater Randolph area. Remember that used to be the vision statement. Well, Doc, we don't want to move from that. We need somebody talking over here on Redland and Jones Mossberger. We need folk talking in Mississippi. We need folk talking in California. And folk ought to be saying, oh man, that what a mighty church. Oh, what a strong disciple. You know, it's always interesting whenever you go somewhere, you TDY and you maybe meet a pastor of a church, and then they call Reverend Brown back and say, man, I met that Deacon Snee. Oh man, Brown, what you doing down there? You got any more down there that want to come to California? You know? That's a great compliment that you are now perpetuating the word of God. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And have ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. He said, how amazing. Do y'all know, folk? Don't y'all look directly at me. Excuse me, ma'am, you look straight here. Do not look to your right. Not look to your left. How many of y'all know folk that are in the Rock Church and the Resurrection Campus at church that you sometimes just think to yourself, Lord, have mercy. How in the world did these people get in church? How they here? The power of God, the word of God, and the intervention of the Holy Ghost. That's how they got there the same way you got there. There are folk that look back at you and wondering, I didn't think she would ever be anything. Oh, well, you go to my hometown. They tell you, oh yeah, you know, hey, he got some great folk in his family, but him, yo, this boy right here. This boy right here, he ain't in jail. When birds go down there, man, oh yeah, who's the Christian education director in your church? Oh, it's Deacon Terrence Sneed. What? Where he from? A deacon? And he's in charge of what? You mean, is that a prison ministry or what? I know that boy in prison. But it's all, you model this. It's been reported. People are talking about you. But listen to verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us. These folk are doing what they're doing, and they're waiting patiently. I know it gets difficult sometimes. I know people say some ugly things and to discourage you. But as for as many folk that say discouraging things, I guarantee you there are those that are saying very encouraging things about you and your church. You never know the impact that you are having, okay, until you expose yourself, till you get out there, till you meet other folk. And as a matter of fact, you have to be very careful, because in San Antonio is not a big thriving metropolis where people don't know you. When Thompson, you know, first came here, he could go to one side of town and he wouldn't have to worry about nothing. Now it don't matter where you go, there are people that know you. Hey, them folk, matter of fact, all the time, Prosper Brown always talking about people coming up. Oh, it happened to us too. This young man came up today, the other day, he was hugging on me. Oh, it's so good to see you, da, 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 da. And I said to myself, I don't know who you are. But I get that is exactly right. But I guarantee you, when you get there, ah, da, 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 and you did this, and I went there, and I remember this lesson that you taught on something, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you never know the impact that you're having. But you gotta get out there and do it. Because guess what? The last time I checked, you all were inhaling and exhaling when you walked in here. So you got to wait patiently on God. You got to wait for that day when he will come, because he sent his son the first time to die for us. But that son will return to deliver us from all wrath, whether they're talking about the tribulation or eternal wrath. He's coming back. But will you be a model? Will people talk about you? Will people set you up as an example? Is your church the model? Or can they go and find that kind of church anywhere? People who say one thing but do something else. Or is it folk who are in God, in Christ, and living out their soul salvation on a daily basis? They fully understand that they have been saved, that they are being saved, and that one day, thank God, they shall be saved. That's my time. Thanks for yours.